Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings, you're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana, and I'm here with my co-host, Rose Marcus. Welcome back, Rose.
Hi, Kristen. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. And Rose is waiting for her grandbaby to be born. Not yet. Almost, right?
Almost. I will report next month.
Oh, my goodness. Exciting times. So you're Canadian. You know, there's it's easier for you to talk about the crazy stuff that's going on in this country. So I don't know how you feel about everything that's going on here.
But it's well, you know, I was thinking that I've said this a lot about the, you know, Pisces archetype, or when people are having Neptune transits and so on, right? You know, I've given this advice out many times. Out of nothing comes something, out of something comes everything. and I really think that the way things are going right now, as we see demonstrated in U.S. politics, it's like a wild ride, right? From any moment to moment, something could change. And when that something changes, wow, it's huge. It's significant. A lot changes in the blink of an eye.
I remember last time when we were talking last month for the month of July, and we were talking about this full moon, how big it was going to be in Capricorn. Right, finishing this chapter, something a chapter of old that was going to be occurring, was it early Sunday morning, literally, and yet Uranus was trining that full moon. So it was just going to be this sudden breakthrough redirect. We also had Mercury squaring Uranus, which is the shock and the surprise. And so we had literally that. We had, you know, Biden passing the torch. I mean, you know, literally accepting that it was time for him. His time was done. That's such a Capricorn thing, a full moon thing. And then this totally radical new direction in terms of a woman who's a minority on top of that. So it's just everything was represented in that full moon. It was just very graphic.
Yeah, it was so graphic. And I had put something up, you know, on my social media about that full moon. And I had just put up, you know, is would Biden step down? And it was at that point, you know, where when I was watching the media reports, and that's what they said, you know, he had to be really at one with himself. Like he had to present a strong front. No, I'm not doing this. No, I'm not doing this until the decision was made. Right. And this is the nature of that full moon on the 21st of July. At 29 degrees Capricorn, at the same time that the Cancer Sun is, of course, finishing up in Cancer, moving into Leo and opposing planet Pluto. So that is an accelerated, program here of shape-shifting of everything, you know, accelerating a whole different programming going on, like almost instantly the acceleration of that from 1 minute to the next, right? You know, it was so potent in that transit. That was building all month because we had several other things at the beginning. It was, what was it at the start of it? The Neptune station, and it was Venus doing it first, and then it was Mercury doing it first, and then it was the Sun, right? You know, so we had this kind of triple pass in the month of July that was setting up delivery.
That's so true. Gosh, you know, and I was looking at Biden's chart in July, and he has some of the hardest transits I see, many at once, with Pluto squaring his moon at zero Taurus. Very intense. That can be something as ending. Uranus opposing his Scorpio planets, I think the Sun and Venus. Again, just really being kind of forced out and really, okay, what's next? What's best for the party, and you know, what role do I play now? So that was concerning, just in terms of How does somebody survive those transits? Just, you know, for that soul in particular, there has to be something to, that will change the dynamic of whatever that soul is experiencing. And so that was pretty intense. And thank you for adding that, the Pluto piece, because this full moon, 29 degrees, it's the last degree, Cancer Capricorn yet, and forming a balsamic conjunction to Pluto, right? And so that is another, that is restating this, culminating energy. And I find it fascinating too that the moon rules the USA chart. The moon rules Cancer, and the USA chart is a July 4th, 1776. So that moon closing in on Pluto is representing this chapter closing. So anyway, astrology is so graphic.
Yeah, and you know, just the Cancer moon to Cancer sun to the Capricorn full moon, that 29 degrees and moving into Aquarius. And Biden said it best in his speech. He said that this was beyond personal ambition, right? You know, and it was for the good of the collective. You know, Capricorn archetype has that sense of duty, responsibility, and obligation. You know, again, Aquarius is about the your unique contribution to the whole. And if that means a path of service and some kind of personal sacrifice, then so be it, right? You know, and you know, and that's quite interesting as well too. I think that the dynamic of looking at being squeezed out and so on, this idea of some kind of personal failure, right? You know, which isn't, which was not the case at all in terms of that. You know, so the politics of the day demonstrating so poignantly the astrology. Amazing, just amazing. I mean, this is what gets you and I every time, gets, you know, anybody who's studying astrology, how simply amazing that astrology reflects the evolving reality.
Yeah, I mean, just you're observing from the north, from another country, and you know, you're watching, you always have your finger on the pulse in terms of the news all over the world, Rose, and you know, regardless of what side someone's on or who they're rooting for, the astrology is quite fascinating. So, all right, let's move into the month. Gosh, Mercury is already slowing down for its retrograde. It's today is Thursday when we're recording this on the 25th of July. And it's in the sign of Leo currently, but today, this afternoon at 3:45, so by the time you listen to this podcast, and Mercury will be in Virgo already. So do you have, I've got so many notes here for August, but just in terms of, and between now and the end of July, is there anything that's standing out for you just in terms of the aspects of astrology?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to appreciate that Mercury moving into Virgo, because I have some work to do and I've been having a hard time getting around to it. So maybe I'll be more in the mood later in the day. But on the 26th to Chiron, which is currently traveling through sign of Aries, stations retrograde, which of course, you know, the slower moving planets will do every year for about 4 or 5 months. So, you know, that Chiron stationing to retrograde, you know, is suggesting, you know, Chiron's always an interesting piece, a retrograde planet, planetary position here. Anything that's stationing is slowing down to a, is inhibiting the forward motion to begin with while it's switching, right? You know, so the station to retrograde. But any retrograde planet, and especially Chiron, which is a destiny producing archetype anyway, you know, is about getting more specifically onto target with whatever it is that information is, wherever that is going to be for you in your chart, wherever that that planetary position is. I don't quite remember where Chiron is at the moment, about 23 degrees of Aries, something like that. somewhere in that range right now. But if you have
23, it's stationary today at 23 Aries.
23 Aries. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So being at station is a suggestion of just taking a pause if you can and tuning in. And, you know, what are the downloads that you're having right at the moment? You know, Chiron's stationing to retrograde is best used for observation right at the moment, you know, monitoring, right?
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm keen on right now is just as we close July with Mercury slowing down in Virgo, you're going to love to hear this, Rose, because you said you haven't been able to get to work, but Mars is actually moving into a very strong position to the nodal axis. So Mars rules the transiting north node in Aries. It's moving into a trine to this transiting south node in Libra and moving into a sextile to the transiting north node in Aries. So that, because Mars is currently in Gemini, and Gemini is all about, keeping the balls in the air. If you're multitasking and doing a lot of things, I think, you know, the Mars in Gemini with its strong position to the nodes will help you be more productive. It'll give you the energy that you need. And with Mercury slowing down in Virgo now to prepare for retrograde, you can be more singular focused. Even when you're on to something, you can channel that energy well. So we close July with a lot of energy, even though Mercury's slowing down, remembering that Mercury, even though it's in Virgo, it is also the ruler of Gemini. And so with Mars being this fast action planet, but the ruler of Gemini being in a slowdown, it'll bring all this energy into a focused place for you. So you can harness it, channel it, and just feel like the slowdown is actually helping you wrap your arms around whatever you're working on. So that's my feeling about it. So that's the July 31st, really till August 4th, I would say that Mars is going to be helping all of us. So make sure that you are, as they say with Mercury and Virgo, just do it. Just put yourself in motion. Don't think about it. Don't overanalyze. Don't fret about what you have to do, need to do, want to do. Just do it.
Absolutely. And that Mars, I think, is just picking up some energy now because it's quite recent. It was the 20th of July that that Mars moved into Gemini. And that was like the day before Biden announced, right? And so on. And that Mars has just moved over, by the way, Sedna, which I like to use in my charts. And Sedna is a unfreeze it, unthaw it, move it forward energy as well too. So we are moving forward right now. And oh my goodness, Mars is really active in the month of August, especially in the middle of August. So Gemini is a mobilizing archetype. It is a trend-setting archetype. And it is a connect-the-dots archetype, right? You know, so we're moving from one thing to another rapidly, and one thing connects to another, one thing leads to another. So Gemini is a short-sighted archetype. It's for now, it's for contemporary, it's for interim, and these are also concepts that go along with a Mercury retrograde, you know, to do whatever is short and sweet for now. And let it lead to the next thing. So one thing leads to another leads, and that something leads to everything.
Well, so I also like to think of it as like the dominoes dropping, not in a negative way, but one touch of one domino, and they all fall down. Not really in a negative way. It doesn't have to be that. The connecting to the dots, I love that expression. The dominoes become this effortless progression of events, right? It is electric in a sense, because with the natural trine to Uranus, I feel like, you know, an air sign, it's like if something catches wind or catches fire or a buzz starts to happen, it can just take off under this transit. And, you know, we will probably talk more about it, but it will be joining Jupiter the middle of August, which is just so expansive. It's so potentially auspicious. It's definitely a message reaching a lot of people very quickly, I would say. But it can also allow your ideas and your interests to really grow and expand. But before we get there, Rose, we have a lot going on still in August. I want to talk about the retrograde of Mercury. But the day before that, on Sunday, August 4th, we have a new moon in Leo. And so, you know, every month we get a new opportunity to wipe that slate clean and start anew. We all love the feeling of a new lift, a little light on the subject. So this new moon in Leo on Sunday, August 4th, it's interesting because Venus is at the last degree of Leo as well. It will have just come through a square to Uranus. So before we reach the new moon, what are you feeling that's going to produce? Because this Venus rules the south node pass, squaring Uranus early August before this new moon in Leo. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that new moon is quite potent, right? It's quite potent. It's 12 degrees of Leo on August 4th. And as you just said, Venus moves into Virgo on that day and Mercury stations retrograde in Virgo on that day. So that's like a whole cluster right there with those planets. And I think what this is about is really Mercury turning retrograde on that day is really a shift in terms of how you're actualizing, how you're creating. You know, the attention is now being focused in on yourself. You know, what would be best for me here? What do I want next? You know, it is, I think now, as all Mercury retrogrades are good for, a personal regroup, right? You know, so this is a new cycle in terms of figuring out what your essential needs are, right? That's a Venus archetype here. Figuring out what now, you know, how can you, you know, make it simpler for yourself? How can you extricate yourself from the complicated bits of your life? You know, this is where you might be. And again, it's like worry less, create more. Maybe I don't know. Virgo is an elimination program. You know, it's where we must observe and discern and figure out. You know, what is it that's necessary, and what is it now that I could ditch? You know, and if I let go of this, it might work in my favor a little better. Right. You know, it might work to my advantage a little bit better. It might make me feel a little happier or a little bit more on track with myself. So this is tuning in and getting more honest with yourself, a more realistic look at the way you are evaluating what you need in this particular moment. And then not putting yourself to the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great, oh my gosh, the visual, the Virgo visual was so perfect. Okay, so this is so, I wanted to share this because Leo is just so vibrant and passionate and alive and fiery. And so when you put the Mercury at stationing at four Virgo, the back of the bus, it's important to remember what you have. Whenever Mercury is in Virgo, we can tend to focus on what we do not have or what's missing. But if you focus on what you have, Jeff Green used to teach this on Virgo, what you have, not what you have not, but what you have, then the negative comes through the positive filter and it just dissipates the energy. Because when we focus on the lack, it does create a kink in the energy when we're trying to attract something into our life. You always want to start with what you have. And, or, you know, what is working? Another Virgo word, right? What is working? Okay, these things are working. So when you look around in your life and you say, okay, this is working, that's working, it creates an energy shift in your being. And then it creates space and room for you to then work on what you feel is not working, but it comes through the positive filter. So remember that. And there's nothing better than that Leo energy to just lift your spirits, bring a little light in. It's like opening the blinds, definitely what that will do for you. And I find it so fascinating that, you know, Mercury only gets to 4 degrees of Virgo. It will back into Leo again, right? The middle of the month. And we'll just let everybody know now that I believe it stations direct on the 28th.
28th, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got, as per usual, about 3 weeks. And so it stations direct again in Leo. What degree is that? You must have that in your notes.
Right? Oh, I have it in my notes. It's like 21 degrees Leo. Yeah, okay. 21 degrees, yeah.
And then it doesn't re-enter Virgo until like the middle of September, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's the 8th of September. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I wanted to make a point on that as well, too. The discernment or the dividing line is between I can and I can't, right? Right? You know, so what can I do and what I can't do? And I want to reference something you said a little bit earlier as well, too. When we have these shortfalls or when we have the uncertainty or the unknown category, you know, when we don't know where we're going is where we are so caught up in trying to get it under better control. And one of the things that, you know, with the Gemini piece is not about getting it under control, but about moving through the experiential track. And it is through the experiential track of just moving from step to step or from day to day or from hour to hour that is informing. And so as we move along, you know, it puts us into a better know. So, you know, what I can't control things that are beyond my capacity. I can't control how another person thinks. I can't control another person's actions or so on, but I can create for myself whatever it is, and working with the assets here, just as you said.
Yeah, a couple other things I think are really beneficial with the Virgo Mercury retrograde, given that Mercury does rule Virgo. I liked how you talked about the experiential track. That's an excellent example of this, because when we're on the experiential track and we're living moment to moment, it's also about the information that's coming in, right, with that experience. And then when we have the information, then we know what needs to tweak, whether it's our health, right, or any project we're working on. The slowdown does allow you to pull back your lens, see the bigger picture, observe things in a new way, not put so much pressure on yourself. I mean, August is kind of like that anyway. A lot of people are on vacation. Now, and where I live, it just seems like everything's heating up so much, people just naturally slow down and take a slower pace at things. And so that is a beneficial aspect of this retrograde.
That is exactly the nature of Mars transit, 6 weeks of information gathering in the sign of Gemini. That's what we're moving through all these few weeks that are coming up. We need to go to a break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed, personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
All right, we've returned. And, you know, I was just thinking about this Mars energy in Gemini, and that it's like the news headlines changed 25 times a day. The speed of things is, it's what it is. It's the speed of things. This headline, that headline, oh my gosh, it's like hard to keep up with things right now. So life is happening very fast out in the world. If you're watching and listening and observing, things just feel to be happening so fast and changing so fast. And I don't know, with Mercury retrograde in Virgo, I think just because that's slowing down with Mars and Gemini, I still feel like it's August is still going to be a pretty rapid month for media and communications along those lines. And maybe, we already can anticipate it'll be a battlefield for sure. But what I'm really encouraged by truly again is the Mars transit as we end July and enter August, and then Mars is approaching Jupiter on August 14th. On that day, Mercury will also back into Leo on the same day that Jupiter and Mars will be conjunct in Gemini. So why is this significant? Because the energy of Mercury backing out of Virgo and into Leo, it's a very, again, solar focus, fiery, passionate energy. It's creative. It's loving. If you bring it to a personal level, Jupiter conjunct Mars is excellent for just connection, communicating, talking about what you want to draw into your orbit, into your life, what your vision is for your future. And everything goes from really kind of small and nitpicky and detailed, and it opens way up, whether it's the potential of a relationship you're in or a vision you have or some creative project you're working on. And beyond that. So what do you think about that mid-month?
Well, yeah, and, you know, the beginning of Mercury retrograde from the 4th of August to the 14th in Virgo, it is a stripping away, simplifying. I have to say that so many of my clients take vacations during Mercury retrograde. a time out, a pulling back from the over-accessing of chatter. We're being bombarded by, just with all that's going on in U.S. politics. I mean, oh my God, the amount of opinions of people, one saying this. And, Gemini is an archetype about not settling anywhere. It's just about picking up the key and moving on, and just picking up another key and moving on, right? We have to string the whole sentence together. So we have to wait until we get all of that information together. So I think that this Mercury timetable from in the first half of the month is a strip it away. And by the second half of the month, when from the 14th to the 28th, when Mercury is retrograde in Leo, is a time when we get to really make full use out of what the information that we've gathered in the first half of the month. So I've got to figure myself out. I've got to figure out how to proceed next. Maybe I want to do this. Maybe I want to do that. What I've been saying is, when you're uncertain about things, visualize it in your mind's eye, or write it out or something, and then poke holes in it. See why it sounds great to begin with, but oh, wait a minute, I don't like that facet of it. Oh, maybe I don't really want to do it because of A, B, and C. And that gets you to clarity, right? Gets you to clarity when you figure out, again, what is essential, what is, again, that Leo piece, what is going to be best, from the 14th August through the 28th, Mercury in Leo is going to be saying, this, not that, right? Yes. So we're starting from the elimination program to the solidification and building. And I just wanted to mention that on the, where's my note here, on the 7th of August, Mercury retrograde and Venus will be conjunct. And so anytime, you know, we look at a conjunction of two planets, that's kind of a next phase of a cycle, right? You know, so at that point, that's, you know, Venus is all the evaluation principle and the, you know, and the attraction piece here as well, too, and what you're calling forth to yourself. And Mercury, of course, is, you know, the keys that you are putting in your hands, right? You know, so to speak. So watch that transit for the information that's coming your way, your own evaluation process. It might spark a different way of seeing and attracting and evaluating whatever it is that you might be up to at that particular point in time. And I say that, you know, maybe that first half of the month is a good time to be pulling back from the over-accessing of everything outside of self and paying more attention to what's on the inside, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like August 6th, 7th, and 8th when Venus and Mercury are conjunct. I mean, well, just in terms of an orb of influence. And I would say this, that it's really important to ask yourself how something feels, not just how you think about it. Venus will really be there to let you know how the idea feels, how whatever you've got going over here might feel for you longer term. So make sure that you're allowing yourself to, you know, drop into that area too, not just if it looks good on paper, how does it feel? That's what Venus will be sharing with you.
That's excellent. And we've been mentioning this Mars-Jupiter transit coming up on the 14th. That's kind of a peak. I think we're going to start to see that energy build from the 10th. Jupiter is aspecting for students out there, the north node of Uranus to the 15th. And we've got quite a bit going on. And I just wanted to mention to the activities of the month from July 26th to August 11th, the Paris Olympics are on. Mm-hmm. You know, so that brings, you know, that's a competition. And, you know, Leo is about, again, the Olympics fits the Leo archetype for sure. And from the 18th of August to the 22nd of August, spanning over the full moon on the 19th, which we're going to talk about in a minute here, is the Democratic National Democratic Party Convention as well, too. So two really big events in the month of August, which, of course, are informing and life altering for some, I think.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot going on. A lot of variety and a lot of diversity with the Olympics, too. I'm looking forward to all that. All right, we'll be right back after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, or it will assist you in answering and your clients answering a big question. Why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Oh my goodness, what a month. Okay. So Kristen, I've been really looking at these dates, the 14th, 15th of August, and the 18th, 19th of August. And full moon on August 19th, I don't think I've seen a lineup like that. I just can't remember, really. But what happens on the 14th and 15th, as you've mentioned a few times, on the 14th, we have Mars in Gemini conjunct Jupiter. And on the 15th, we have Mars squaring Saturn. On the 14th, of course, as we've mentioned already, Mercury retrograde is backing into Leo. So that's kind of a cluster happening right there. And on the 18th, 19th, it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's a 1-2 punch that we're going to see out of this, or a second wave or something along that line. But the 18th, 19th has just this cluster. First of all, a full moon in the sign of Aquarius. It's 27 degrees. So a full moon in Aquarius is notable, just because a full moon in Aquarius is going to bring something out of the ordinary, or something out of the blue, or something unexpected. It's a bit of a shakeup with that Uranus trend with Aquarius. But not only that, planet Uranus is square that full moon. So we have Uranus. So we have something very, very dynamic there. But not only that, the 19th is the first of the triple alignment of the Jupiter-Saturn square that is going to span from this month, August, right through June of next year. There are three dates of the Jupiter-Uranus square, which is the first quarter turn of a 20-year cycle. And Jupiter and Saturn are a planetary pair. And that's August 19, December 24, and I believe June 15 or 16. Okay, so we've got that going on. Plus, Mercury retrograde aligned with the Sun on the 18th is the midpoint of the Mercury retrograde cycle. And of course, that Mercury retrograde, that alignment, the inferior conjunction, Mercury is square Uranus. And adding to that as well, too, Venus, which is in the sign of Virgo, is a trigger for the Jupiter-Uranus square that is happening coinciding with this full moon. That's a lot of balls in the air right there, right? But we've got Mars being the preliminary on the 14th, 15th, Jupiter-Saturn, and then we've got Jupiter-Saturn on the 18th, 19th with the Sun, right? So that's a wow, right? And that's the 18th is the start of the Democratic election. The 11th is the end of the Olympics. When you have Mars, Jupiter, I think a lot of people are traveling. A lot of people are coming home from Paris. A lot of people are going to the convention. I don't know. There could be. That is Mars and Jupiter together. That is a trigger for mobilization, for activation, for, getting the ball rolling, for instincts, impulse, for, putting a lot into action, right? A lot. Jupiter is a planet of increase, right?
I'm always looking everywhere, as you are, and there's one other energy that I feel like is helpful, because all that Uranus energy makes me a little anxious, I have to say.
Stress, high stress,
stress. And erratic, unexpected events. But thankfully, Uranus is sextiling Neptune, and Neptune is also sextiling Pluto on the other side. So it becomes, I like to use this kite pattern, but it really does. It becomes a higher place to land, I think is the best way to put it, in terms of just how I see this. I mean, Uranus is within 3 degrees of a trine to Pluto in August. That's, well within reach to receive some kind of support from Pluto. So, a deeper dive, if it's in your own life, the Neptune supportive alignment to not only Pluto, but Uranus, can this push, this surprise, this unexpected energy could be or have the effect of elevating your walk, your consciousness, your ability to be present for something, for someone. And so I'm always looking for, where's the release point? Where's the upside? Where can this go? How high can you fly? How far can you take it? And that is also there. And I'm relieved to see that.
Well, and I think these transits here are informing as well, too. You know, whenever we mention Saturn, we start to think like, uh-oh. But I think that moving from the Jupiter to the Saturn, you know, it's crystallizing, it's solidifying, right? You know, Jupiter is about the potential, right? You know, when we take that and move it to Saturn here, we are making the potential real in some way. And I think that these are really acceleration dates, moving from one thing to another in a really rapid, on a rapid track that simply gives you the information you need to feel that sense of solidness from within to get to the next step. It's like, you know, and of course Saturn is a wall or a barrier or a block. And once we move past that, we have the ability now to restructure, to rebuild, to lay that foundation, you know, to get that, you know, we have a framework to work with already. It's already in place. And we have now to build further from there. So I think that that these two key dates, you know, the middle of the month, that 14th, 15th, and 18th, 19th, well, you know, whether you're going to feel that in that way, it's really from about the 10th to the 23rd, when there's an awful lot of action. It's going to be quite a rapid track. We'll see where each one of us get to by the time we get to the 26th of August, or 23rd of August.
A lot of rapid changing again, changing of directions. Do you think it's one way, and the next moment it could change? One thing about the Jupiter in Gemini squaring Saturn in Pisces retrograde is that can be very revealing. With Saturn retrograde in Pisces, there's something that you can't see quite yet. It's in the fog, for example. And by Jupiter squaring that, it's like opening the veil or opening the curtain. And once something is revealed to you, that could show you the potential of what something could be. So the unknown can make anybody uneasy until everybody puts their cards on the table, or until you know exactly what you're up against. So I do like the revealing aspect of it, because nobody's in the dark when that happens, right? Everybody knows what's in front of them for the most part. Does anybody ever know everything? No, but it is revealing, and it will allow the potential to be.
I think it's such a demonstration between the Biden will he or won't he to the deal being done, and now we're on a rapid track. Aaron Harris is on a rapid track, right? You know, and that's like really quite demonstrates that Saturn Jupiter square right there. You know, and let me say that Saturn is in the sign of Pisces in retrograde, and I've said this in other shows that we've done. You know, Saturn represents the past, and Jupiter represents the future, and we're at this clash point right here with this square aspect between the two of them. And what we must know about Saturn is that Saturn in Pisces, there is a past that is dissolving, it's receding, it's disappearing, and it's disappearing fast. And this is not a point of trying to go back there and reclaim the past, but the past has informed the present, mm-hmm. and it is to take that now and let it be the, you know, the destination, or the way forward. And destination's the wrong thing. Right now, it's not so much about the destination. It's about the moment. It's about the present moment. It is about making full use of it right here. If you concentrate too much on tomorrow, on the future, on the desired goal, we say that, you know, focus on your goal and then reach it. But for right now, don't let it distract you from being fully immersed right here, right now, and taking all of that information in and making it useful to yourself.
Another piece of advice here is to not take anything for granted.
Yes.
Every step counts, every thought, every breath, every movement, every motion. And don't think that somebody else is going to read your mind, or somebody else is going to take it over for you. I mean, whatever it might be. I mean, if there's something that you want in your life or need in your life, if there's something you want to be a part of, every step right now counts, and it's again, the biggest message here is not to take anything for granted. Nobody knows what that ultimate future peace is going to look like through this revolving door that's occurring even until next June, Rose, when you're talking about the Jupiter-Saturn square. So we have to live in the moment. We have to maximize our minutes, be present, make the most of our life, our time with loved ones. Anything that we're, the choices that we're making are incredibly important. They always are, but really important during this transit of Mars through Gemini.
I think we have to go to a break again.
We'll be back in a dash.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N Fontana.com.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research, and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
Take one step towards spirit. Spirit will take 1,000 steps toward you. Come explore the world of evolutionary astrology with Rose Marcus. Rose Marcus is well known for her heartfelt passion, sensitive counseling skills, and dedication to helping others. You can now study evolutionary astrology from the comfort of your own home through live teleconference classes with Rose. To register for the next Evolutionary Astrology School, to read your in-depth monthly horoscope, or to book a private astrology with Rose Marcus, please visit her website, www.rosemarcus.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
And, you know, I was going to say something else, too, about that Saturn. You know, security is an illusion, really. And, you know, it's whatever we project it to be. And with these transits, you know, that security has to, you know, it's an evolving piece. And so sometimes that projection of security can give us what we need. But to recognize, too, that we are always moving, even when we, you know, we're always moving forward, and to make sure to incorporate the present. You know, we're crowded by the past and the future potential, and this is with a Gemini piece, is to give the maximum room or space for the present to have its say, have its run.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just coming across a quote from the Dalai Lama. He was actually born with Saturn retrograde in Pisces. The Dalai Lama was, which is where Saturn is transiting retrograde right now. He was also born with the moon in Virgo, conjunct Neptune, which is the ruler for Pisces. We've got all this Virgo energy approaching in combination with Leo. But he says, the planet does not need more successful people. The planet desperately needs more peacemakers, healers, restorers, storytellers, and lovers of all kind. And that, to me,
is beautiful.
Is perfect for the transits in the next month, given the Saturn and Pisces retrograde squaring Jupiter and Gemini. You know, as he quoted, successful people. I mean, we all want to be successful in our endeavors, even if it's the way that we love. But he's just, you know, obviously pointing to, you know, just the ambitious climb, or somebody going after more money or this or that. But we do need more peacemakers, more healers, definitely storytellers and lovers of all kind. But the word restore, that is a perfect retrograde planet as well. So as Mercury is in the sign of Virgo retrograde and then Leo, to restore the beauty in your life, to restore the love in your life, to restore anything that is of value to you, to replenish, which is why people take the vacation.
Vacations. Yeah.
It's a fine time to go on vacation. It's a fine time, even if you have to repair something in your body. Wouldn't you say under a retrograde? I've been getting some emails about people wanting to do surgery. And, you know, I'm just less inclined to say, don't do anything under a retrograde. I mean, it is a time to repair things in our life. So what do you think about that?
Well, and yeah, and exactly. So there's so much out there on Mercury retrograde. You know, it's become very commercialized, I think. But, you know, the only thing that I recommend about Mercury retrograde to be careful of is the day it turns retrograde. Usually plans are not going to go according to Hoyle, right? You know, and so I don't like the idea of, you know, scheduling a plane trip on Mercury retrograde because I'm going to be stuck at the airport or something along that line, you know, so at the start of it, but you cannot stop life, right? No. So you do have to proceed. The thing with a Mercury retrograde is you do, you know, what we always recommend during the retrograde is be more careful, you know, pay more attention to the details, double check everything. You know, it's all of that, but don't stop things. Mercury retrograde is very useful, and it's very useful for introspection. It's very useful for the whole subjective, you know, analyzing, you know, where am I at? You know, it's time to take stock. And I think we forget about this a lot, is that we need time out periods to rejuvenate. We absolutely do, you know, so that's exactly what that's about. And a lot of times we're so distracted, and especially with all that's going on in the world right now. Oh, wow. Oh, you know, we're junkies for that kind of drama and trauma, right? You know, and it is very, very I saw something online quite recently. Is like, I dare you to take a week off your media. And I don't know how many of us can go a whole day without being on the internet somehow, right?
Yeah, right.
So do recommend that you don't have to stop. You just have to pay attention. And that's what the retrograde cycle is meant to do.
I would just say give yourself more time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might not be able to take care of it in the time that you're allotting for it. So just be more flexible, create more room, have backup plans if something doesn't work. Try not to attach to when things happen, how things happen. It's really a time for letting go and just trusting in the process of things, doing your best, you know.
And certainly with Mars being in Gemini and this retrograde, you know, you cannot be tight to whatever it is you want to do, because Mars in Gemini is going to bring you something more. There's some more information that you do not have yet. And certainly a full moon in Aquarius with Uranus being so elevated as well, too, and the Jupiter-Saturn square, these are informing. Uranus is always good for something outside of the box, you know, something that you didn't plan for, something unexpected, some surprise, something, you know, can be a shakeup, but, you know, Uranus's opportunity as well, too. And, you know, Venus will be in Virgo opposing Saturn. And, you know, that is a deficit to a plus. You know, you might see where there's a weak spot or a gap or a bargain to be had, or, you know, something that you could take and make really good use of, you know, that something that somebody else has discarded, you know, it's like, oh, bargain hunting and, you know, find the Moreau in the junk pile or something, you know, you know.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you brought that up. When is the Saturn Venus opposition?
That's on the 19th, on the full moon, right? Wow. You know, so it might be an incredible opportunity to say something to someone that you weren't able to say before, to show up for yourself in a way that you weren't able to show up before, to take on something that the timing hasn't been right on until now. You know, that's all of that kind of transit here. So to look at the to see whatever it is that you might be facing as opportunity, because there is opportunity. And you know, the the Venus in Virgo opposing that Saturn in Pisces can be, a blessing in disguise.
For sure. Absolutely. 100%.
Right.
Yeah. And so I would say, you know, flexibility in August is probably my favorite word of the month. That's what we all need to be, flexible, because you never know what will happen if you loosen up around timelines or expectations. Just really give yourself a lot of space to slow down, to receive, and to see things more clearly. Can you just let everybody know again, when does Mars leave Gemini and enter Cancer, and when does Mercury re-enter Virgo in early September?
It is September 4 when Mars will leave Gemini for Cancer, and it is September 8 that Mercury will leave Leo for Virgo. So Mercury finishes up in Leo, the retrograde, on the 28th of August, but it continues on until the 4th. And then it's, I think it's till about the 12th before Mercury is out of the shadow past the 4 degrees mark that it turned retrograde here on the 4th of August. So we have a little bit of time to put in, but certainly you're going to feel that momentum shift, that energy shift, the attention shift as of the 14th, 15th of the month when Mercury switches signs.
Okay, so Mercury goes back into Virgo.
Leo on the 14th.
Back into Virgo, though, September 8th.
September 8th, yes.
And Mars will enter Cancer September 4th. Okay, so those are going to be some big shifts, but we've got a lot on our plates in August, a lot to work with. And any last thoughts before we close?
Yeah, if you don't know how to proceed, give it 5 minutes. Something will happen. Something will come your way. Some thought, some message, the phone will ring. Something will happen that will be informing. So if you don't know, wait.
Perfect. So practical. I love it. Just a little time. All right. Well, we will be back next month. And when we come back, you will be a grandma by then.
Yes, I will be.
Rose and her daughter and her son-in-law, best wishes for the new baby. And we'll look forward to gathering again next month.
Thank you.
To share by then. Oh, my goodness. All right. Until next time, namaste.